2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at Honda.com.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Fast.
Stop it. Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Signos.
Hamilton crosses the line to win the Formula One title of 2020. Lewis Hamilton reaches the summit and becomes a seven-time world champion.
Get in there, Lewis. What a way to do it, mate. What a way to win your seventh world title.
That's for all the kids out there who dream the impossible.
A supreme Formula One driver making history at the wheel of a supreme Formula One car. On page after page of the sports record books, their names are together, forever. Lewis Hamilton, in harmony with the mighty Mercedes.
Hamilton wins the Hungarian Grand Prix. It's a first win for Mercedes.
Get in there, Lewis. Get in there. That's P1, man.
Mercedes can now call themselves Constructors' Champions in 2014.
History in the making.
It's Lewis Hamilton, champion of the world in 2014.
Woohoo! World champion! Oh my God! I can't believe it! Thank you so much, guys! Woo!
Here at Silverstone, the crowds are going crazy! Lewis Hamilton wins the British Grand Prix!
Get in there, Lewis!
Thank you so much, guys.
From their first win together in 2013 to their last in 2024, theirs has been the most successful driver-team partnership in Formula One history. And now, they've said their farewells.
We dreamed alone, but together we believed. What started out as a leap of faith turned into a journey into the history books. And I love you guys, really do.
We love you too, and you're always going to be part of that family. And if we can't win, you should win.
Lewis is heading to Ferrari after rewriting those history books with Mercedes. 246 races, 153 podiums, 84 Grand Prix victories, 8 Constructors' Championships and 6 Drivers' Championships. For this special F1 Beyond the Grid, some of those who've worked with Lewis ever since he joined the team are sharing their stories.
Sometimes you'll speak to him and you'll just know that whatever is going to happen that weekend and whatever the car is doing and whatever the circumstances are, he's going to win.
And those are the occasions where you just think, you know, as engineers, we can't make sense of this in the data. We just had this gift.
Lewis gave me a great big hug and he was like, we're going to go out onto the podium. He walked me out, we waved to the crowds, and I will always hold that memory.
Lewis is getting stronger and stronger every day, every year, very self-critical.
that's what makes him the greatest of all time.
I'm Tom Clarkson, and in this episode, you'll hear from Toto Wolff, team principal, Lewis's leader for the past 12 seasons. Claire Robertson, head of communications. She first met Lewis when he was 15 and has worked with him since his days at McLaren. Victoria Johnson, marketing operations director, who's seen Lewis go from driver to icon. And Andrew Shovlin, trackside engineering director, on the pit wall for all of Lewis's history-making races. But first, a key member of Lewis's team. They stood together on the podium on the day that Lewis equaled one of F1's most important records.
It's win number 91, Schumacher and Hamilton, the most successful drivers of all time in terms of race wins. Mercedes have sent up their race team coordinator, Stephen Lord, to join Lewis on the podium today and to pick the Constructors' Trophy.
Stephen Lord, or Stevo as everyone in the team calls him, has been with Lewis since the McLaren days. They moved to Mercedes at the same time, and Stevo became a constant presence. He's the man who's closest to Lewis on the grid before lights out. Right up to the moment Lewis steps into the cockpit, Stevo is following every footstep in those crucial final moments to help him stay focused before going into the heat of battle. So what does he think makes Lewis Lewis?
Wow, so many things. Temperament, his dedication towards his craft, if you want to call it that. Absolute, raw, natural talent, which is what it is. Emotion, because he is an emotional human being. Yeah, there's many things. I mean, pure ability is basically the fundamental thing, I think.
In Abu Dhabi, he talked a lot about his emotions. Yeah. Just tell us a little bit more about how passionate he is about the racing side of it.
So I've actually been thinking this year on quite a few occasions because we have not had a great year. He struggled with the car for various reasons. Yet he turns up race weekend after race weekend, utterly focused. And I find that quite inspiring in a way. He's been doing it a long time. He's the most successful Formula One driver. Obviously, he's earned a very comfortable living from it. So I don't think it would be unusual to sort of see a slight loss of enthusiasm for the sport, but not at all. His excitement when he does well, his disappointment when he doesn't do so well, his focus on the weekend from the moment he arrives on a Thursday until he leaves on a Sunday night has remained exactly it was the first year we worked together in Formula One in 2007. It is a dedication, and this year, I've been thinking about it quite a bit, and it's pretty impressive that he can kind of maintain that focus for such a long period, having achieved so much. The desire to still achieve is as strong as it was the first day he stepped into a McLaren.
As you say, you've known him since 2007 when he came into Formula One with McLaren. Has he changed during the time you've known him?
Yes, obviously. We all change with time and age. Fundamentally, though, no, he's still the same human being he was in 2007. Obviously, he's changed because the success has brought a different lifestyle. And I think that's probably the biggest change that people see. But beyond that, the person, and like as I just spoke about, the focus on his craft, that's remained completely unchanged. So that's nothing has changed in that area. But yes, he's become an older man, wiser, experienced different things. So he's changed, but no more in the way that any of us do.
You talk about the lifestyle. The bit outside of the garage has changed, clearly. But is the guy inside the garage the same?
Yes, I'd say so.
Is he personable? Does he hang out? Does he joke with you guys?
He does, on occasion. But I think everybody in the garage is also aware that somebody like Lewis, their time is restricted. But when he has the opportunity, he always comes in, walks around the garage, asks how people are, checks, you know, are you happy? How's the car looking? What have we done this week? Yeah, he's personable when time allows.
Now, back in the McLaren days, mm-hmm.
You were working on the gearbox, now at Merck, you're team coordinator.
Yeah.
But we have seen you working closer, it seems, with Lewis for the last couple of years.
Yes.
What's the job now?
So I'm still race team coordinator. But at the beginning of last year, when Lewis and Angela parted company, Lewis approached Toto and said, can Steve-O sort of support me when I'm in the car, going to the grid, looking after my kit, so on and so forth. Initially, Toto said no. He said, Steve-O's got a job. He's got enough on his plate as it is. And by all accounts, Lewis sort of persisted. And in the end, Ron Meadows, the sporting director, and Toto said, well, look, Steve-O will do it if he agrees to do it for two or three races until you find a suitable replacement for Angela. So I started that sort of side role in Saudi last year, and here we are still.
40 races later.
Yeah. Which I kind of suspected might happen, but I didn't say anything. It's actually been really enjoyable. And it's also, even though I've known him a long time, it's given me even kind of a greater insight into who he is. And
well, can you tell us anything about that? And particularly when he's on the grid, building up to the race. Is it the same process at every Grand Prix?
Yes, we do go through an identical process every race, irrespective of where we may be starting, be it on pole or 15th. I think he needs a rhythm and a process that he knows is always going to be the same. But he does introduce elements into that process to generate. He needs to be in a certain state of mind to get into the car, like an elevated state. I think he generates a form of focus by creating a certain amount of nervous energy. And this is another thing, like I mentioned earlier, how I still find it incredible that he has the enthusiasm for the job. Despite achieving everything, he is still nervous every time he gets into the car before the start of a race. And he asks me often, as we're getting ready, you know, he's putting his kit on, putting his helmet on, we're doing all of the harnesses. He often asks me, are you nervous today?
What's the correct answer to that?
Yes, I am nervous is the correct answer. I'm not always nervous, but it depends how late we are to the grid that day.
And is he superstitious, Steve-O? Does he always get in the car from the same side? Does he always put the...
No, I'd say he's not superstitious. There is a rhythm to the things that he does in that process, but I wouldn't say he is superstitious at all. He's not particular about a particular helmet or a particular pair of gloves. He tends to wear two pairs of gloves a weekend. He'll wear the same gloves through free practice and qualifying. He likes to have a new pair of gloves for the race, but I don't think that's a superstition. I think that's just he prefers to have a new pair of gloves.
How surprised were you when you got the news that he was moving to Ferrari?
Not at all.
Okay. How come?
Because I think that's been his plan all along.
Had he mentioned something to you, or is this just a gut feeling you had?
A few years ago, it came up in conversation.
The lure of the red car.
I actually always thought he might be tempted back to McLaren, but I was completely wrong. But yeah, we had a conversation years ago, and he always said that he felt most drivers had a desire to at least at some point in their career drive the Ferrari. So I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, we can see through the history of the sport, there is a desire amongst great drivers to go to Ferrari and win world championships there. Fernando did it, Seb did it. I think that will always remain. I mean, they're the oldest, most recognisable team in the pit lane, the history and the esteem that that mark is held in. I think it's inevitable that people would want to go there.
Look, final one. Is there one anecdote that best describes your time working with Lewis?
I mean, obviously, we've worked together a long time, so there are many things come to mind. But actually, the one that I'm fondest of happened this year. And it's quite an interesting insight into the Lewis that perhaps people don't see. And it was after the race in Monza, obviously the last European round. Lewis is upstairs, he did the engineering debrief. So we have, in Europe, we have the race base, where we have like an engineering suite on the top floor, and at the back of the engineering suite, the drivers have their own rooms. So they have a room where they have massage beds, and all of their kit is laid out ready, and then they have a bathroom with a shower and a toilet. So Lewis had finished engineering. I think the engineers had left, so Lewis was upstairs in the room on his own. I popped up, grabbed a couple of bits, came back down the stairs, and Lewis came down the stairs ready to leave and head home. He got to the bottom of the stairs and he stopped, and then he turned around and he went back upstairs. I thought, oh, he's forgotten something, didn't think much of it. He came back down about 10 minutes later, and he grabbed a guy that works for the team, Carlos, who's our head of race team logistics. And you could see that Lewis was really quite emotional. And he grabbed Carlos, and Carlos's job, he is responsible for all of the trucks, the race base in Europe. He oversees the build and the transportation of these. So Lewis knows that it's Carl's thing. And he said to Carl, I stood there, and he said, it's only just occurred to me, I'm never going to see that room ever again. And he said, I'm really emotional. He said, I can't leave. He said, I feel kind of sad to walk away from that room because I've been in that room for so many years and I'm never going to see it again. And he was really quite, you know, touched that he was leaving it behind. Anyway, so off he went. I went back up to the room to pack his last few bits of driver kit and grab the helmets and everything. I walked into the room, and on the wall, there's quite a long handwritten note on the wall. And it was a note to Kimi, and it was basically welcoming him to his new room. And it was wishing him the best of luck, saying some really nice things about the team and how if you care for them, they'll care for you because they're a great team. And I thought, wow, what a nice thing to do. So I went and grabbed Carl and showed him, and he was like, wow, that's incredible. And actually now we've had glass cut and it's now covered in the room, so it will be there forevermore. So Carl went off. I thought, I'll just go into the bathroom and make sure that everything's been packed away and we've got all we need. So I walked into the bathroom, and next to the toilet, above the toilet roll holder, was here with a big smiley face. And I thought, okay, I like that. So
what a wonderful story. Yeah, that says so much about Lewis Hamilton, and I think the human side of
exactly
Kimi,
that. Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. But the note to Kimi was pretty special.
Steve Oat, what a wonderful chat. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. Lewis Hamilton's partnership with Mercedes began long before he reached Formula One. In 1995, as a young karting champion, he famously approached McLaren Mercedes boss Ron Dennis at an awards ceremony, and he told Ron he was going to drive for his F1 team one day. That prophecy came true. Mercedes supported Lewis's junior career, he made his debut with McLaren, and in 2008 he was powered to his first F1 world title by a Mercedes engine. It was at McLaren that Claire Robertson first met Lewis. They've risen together. Claire was initially in charge of planning Lewis's work with the team's partners, so she got to know him away from the racetrack.
Lewis is one of the most human humans that I've known in my life. I've worked with him for over half of my life, which is a little bit terrifying. He has this ability to make people feel seen, to make people feel heard, to go into a room, to capture everybody's attention. He always wants to make sure people are comfortable. He wants to make sure people are enjoying what they're doing or having their experience that they should be having. And it's not a side of him that probably people are aware of and people see until they have that one-to-one interaction with him. Because when you are in the public eye, when you are high profile, it's often very difficult to show that kind of side of you. And for me, that ability he has to make people feel heard, to make people feel special, is quite incredible.
I'm trying to do the maths, but you say half of your life. When did you actually first meet Lewis Hamilton?
So I would have met him in August 2000.
So he's still a teenager.
Yeah, he would have been 15.
Just joined the McLaren Young Driver Program. You've grown up together.
Yes, we have.
And how has he changed in that time? Can you still relate to the teenager now? Can you still see it in him now?
I can still see it in him. He is a world apart in confidence. And not that he was lacking confidence in a negative way. He was a teenager. So he was 15. And he knew he had this incredible opportunity, this really incredible opportunity. And he had a lot of self-pressure on himself, as he still does today, a lot of self-pressure on himself to make sure that he made the most of that opportunity. So where I guess I've seen the biggest change is as he's grown sort of through the years, through the decades, just his confidence and him knowing who he is, what he's here to do, and how he can do it.
What is he like away from the racetrack? Is he very different away from all this?
I don't think he's very different, actually. He's very focused, he's very driven. He knows in whatever he's doing, what he wants to do, how he's going to do it, and how it's going to work as he wants it to work. I don't see a difference. Obviously, for any race driver, when you come in on qualifying day, race day, you are sort of totally laser focused. But from a general perspective, I don't see a huge difference, no.
He's won so many races. He's won, obviously, the 7 world titles. Is there one victory, one celebration that comes to mind that sticks in your memory?
The one that sticks in my memory is Brazil 2008. Because of the timing within the race that it happened, just being right at the very end. And I can remember the following year when he came in to McLaren to go on the sim. Every lap was starting from the point where he passed Glock, and it wasn't intentional. So I went into the sim to go and get him to do something, and was just watching them go round for a bit. And I was like, did you do this on purpose? And all the engineers were like, no. And it was this amazing moment that every lap, every time he was starting a run on the sim, it started at the exact point where he passed him.
Does he see the funny side of something like that?
At the time, I think he was a bit like, I can remember him a bit like, yeah, you're right. We hadn't thought about that. And just sort of it feeling a bit strange rather than funny, but yeah.
And if there's one anecdote that best describes your time working with Lewis, what would you say it is?
I don't know if it necessarily best describes my time working with Lewis. But one anecdote I have is when we were at McLaren, we decided it'd be quite nice to go back to Stevenage. And we went to Pear Tree, so the infants and junior school, which is the school that he often talks about having good memories for. And we had planned that we were going into both assemblies. And I will never forget that the infant school was hilarious because they were too young to know what was happening. And Lewis walked in and all the teachers cared about is all the kids had stood up because they just knew something exciting was happening. But we went into the junior school and seeing the impact it had on the kids when Lewis walked into assembly and that they could not believe that he was standing in front of them. And he'd have been probably one time world champion at this point. It was the first time I really saw the impact that he had on people. And then you sort of start thinking, right, how is he going to use this? And how is he going to use this for good? And how will he harness this in the right way? Which he's done. But I will never forget walking into that assembly room, sort of probably 3 times the size of this space we're in now, full of kids all sitting on the floor and their minds all being blown as they realised Lewis was walking on stage, who had been to that school and had already at that stage achieved so much. And he was there as a real inspiration for them, but he had come back to see them.
Well, it's the human side of Lewis Hamilton that you keep talking about. Look, final one, what will you miss about Lewis?
I don't think I can say there's one thing that I'm going to miss about him. We've worked together for 24 years, so it's quite a... It's been the whole of my career. My first job was at McLaren, so it's been the whole of my career. There's so much of Mercedes that is him and him that is Mercedes. So I mean the Brackley Mercedes, I mean McLaren, I mean Mercedes, Stuttgart Mercedes. It's going to be very different and very strange, that's for sure. But I don't see it as we've got a whole. I see it as everything that we've achieved together over those years and how fantastic that is and how that will always be a part of the lives of all the people who've been involved in that. It's very hard to think of one thing that I will miss about Lewis. But if I sort of take a step back and I can really tough on myself about it, I love it when Lewis is in a mindset where you just know he's going to win. And across the 24 years of our sort of time working together, sometimes you'll speak to him and you'll just know that whatever is going to happen that weekend and whatever the car is doing or whatever the circumstances are, he's going to win.
And it's quite an extraordinary thing, and it's very difficult to explain and put your finger on it. But I love it when it happens, and it's going to be a thing that I do actually really miss.
Because is it a confidence that you're talking about?
He always has confidence. So, and I know it's a terribly sort of bad thing to try and explain and not put your finger on it, but it'll just be the way he's speaking, the way he's holding himself, and you just know, okay, this weekend no one has a chance.
There's been plenty of them.
Yes, there have been.
Claire, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's incredible to hear that from Claire, that she can tell just by looking at Lewis when he's going to be unbeatable. She's seen him put in 100% on the racetrack and then do the same at a sponsor event, with fans or even with the children at his old school. Victoria Johnson has seen that side of Lewis too. She worked with him on events with Mercedes sponsors, and over time, she's seen him transform from Formula One driver to global superstar.
It's been a remarkable journey working with Lewis, and it's been a long journey, 12 years now. And I think I look back on it, we were both young, and we've sort of grown up and changed together. And yeah, it's been a remarkable journey together.
How do you think he's changed?
I think when he joined us, he was obviously a remarkable racing driver, but he has become huge. He's a figure that is known. You know, if you compare to other racing drivers, he's sort of a brand all on its own. And yeah, he's grown with us, and that's been really, it's been a pleasure to be part of and a pleasure to watch him enjoy such success on the track, but also become this huge personality that he is.
And his fame now transcends Formula One, doesn't it? And can you describe the impact he has on the people he meets, even famous people?
He has been integral for us growing all of our partnerships over the years. He's a real class act, and what he brings to marketing and activation is just phenomenal. He also connects really well with people, whether it's kids, whether it's, you know, CEOs, whether it's famous people. He makes a connection, and yeah, he just delivers for us time and time again.
And does he go above and beyond what's in the contract?
There's probably a persona of Lewis of what people think on the outside, and he's this huge celebrity, but he's never let me down on a marketing appearance, or he's always delivered. And that's whether he's had a good day on track or a bad day on track. He has been the ultimate professional to work with, and I'm very grateful for that.
And how involved does he get with some of your activations? I mean, let's talk about Tommy Hilfiger, for example.
I think that's changed over the years, because when he first joined us, you know, it's just about getting in the car and racing. And as he sort of slowly built his brand, he became more and more interested in marketing, in fashion, in music, in culture. His opinions, once Lewis had sort of worked out who Lewis was in terms of his opinions, of what he liked with fashion, music, he wanted to have a bigger say on what he did from a marketing perspective. And that was great. Take Tommy Hilfiger as an example. That's been a phenomenal partnership that we've worked on with Lewis really closely over the years, and it's brought fashion into Formula One in a really big way.
How big a hole does he leave behind?
He does leave a hole, and I think we have to be honest about that. Lewis is leaving us in a point where we've built up this amazing brand and team, and he's been part of that journey. And Lewis has been a huge part of what we've built. And that's from a branding perspective, from a marketing perspective, and an activation perspective. He has been a huge part of what I've been able to do and achieve. And he is going to leave a big hole. However, the sport moves on, and we look forward to seeing what the future holds.
Is there one anecdote that best describes your time working with Lewis?
There's plenty of stories from working with Lewis. I suppose personally, when I got chosen to go on the podium in Austin 2016.
And it's a 50th win for Lewis Hamilton, with the Mercedes Partner Services Director Victoria Vowles coming out onto the podium with him.
One, I was very shocked to go on the podium because marketing people don't tend to go on the podium. And I remember going into the green room, the backstage room, and I was like, I'm not going on the podium. I can't do this. And Lewis gave me a great big hug and he was like, right, we're going to do this together. I'm going to hold your hand. We're going to go out onto the podium. I'm going to put you where you need to stand and we're going to do this together. And yeah, when it was time for us to go out, he walked me out, we waved to the crowds, and I will always hold that memory. It's a very fond memory for me, and that's the caring, conscientious Lewis. And he truly cares about his team, and Lewis having the right people around him and having the right team around him is what he needs to succeed.
What will you miss most about Lewis Hamilton?
I will miss the ultimate professional that Lewis Hamilton is. Lewis, you take him to a marketing event, he hits the nail every time, he gets the messaging right, he brings the star quality. You know, I'm looking back to memories now and I'm thinking in my head, you know, there was once we did an activation for a company called Epson years ago and we threw a load of printer ink over his head. And, you know, he's just been a really great sport. And yeah, there's a lot of fond memories, but he is a true professional and has delivered some incredible results for us off the track.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun. From the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. Lewis Hamilton joined Mercedes in 2013. He was a world champion who'd already begun rewriting Formula One history, but he was yet to reach his dominant commanding best. Andrew Shovlin was also a world champion, winning with Braun Grand Prix in 2009. He stayed when the team morphed into Mercedes and found himself working with Lewis. As an engineer, he had a seat on the team's pit wall and access to all of Lewis's driving data, so he's been able to study Lewis's progression. Through good races and bad, he's seen and sometimes struggled to understand just how good Lewis Hamilton is.
We've had a lot of fun and we've had a lot of success. And, you know, the last few years have been more challenging than we would have liked. But, you know, Formula One is just a series of problems and you've got to work as engineers with the drivers to try and overcome those problems with the car. And that's what we've enjoyed doing. And, you know, over time, you even look back at the difficult years as being good fun. I found it a great privilege to have this chapter with Lewis as part of my career.
What is his most outstanding quality as a racing driver?
If you're looking at multi-world champions or, you know, in Lewis's case, the best of the best, it's difficult to just pick one thing and say that's what they've got that no one else has. It's just all the qualities in spades. But with Lewis, if you were to pick anything, his sort of commitment to winning, for him, losing a race is just this abhorrent feeling that he will do any amount of work to try and avoid. That is certainly unique. And then also just, you know, speed, driving skill, in particular his racecraft, you know, his ability to find ways to overtake, to get through, to look after tyres. But to win championships, you've got to be able to drive different balance, different conditions, different circuits. And he got to a point where he doesn't have weak circuits and he didn't have weak points.
You've had a lot of great champions in this team. And actually, the year before Lewis joined, you were working with Michael Schumacher. How different are those two guys?
Very different in terms of personality, different in how they work and engage with the team. But when you look at what they do behind the wheel, what they do in terms of preparation, what they're giving in terms of feedback, quite similar. I think Michael was great in that he really raised the level of this team. And, you know, he come from Ferrari. They've been such a dominant force over the previous decade. And we had to work harder when we got him within our team. A lot of that continued with Lewis, but you had this driver where if you gave him the right information, if you put the car in the right place, he'd just stick it on pole for you. And it was great that we could sort of continue that method of working with engineers and drivers.
Lewis was a one-time world champion when he joined. Was he still a little bit of a rough diamond back then? When you compare the Lewis of today with the Lewis of 2013?
In the sense that every year he was with this team, he would go away for the winter. He had a great awareness of where he could improve himself, and he would come back in January a stronger driver. So you'd say, you know, he was he the most rounded driver that he could have ever been in year one? Well, probably not, because over the years he was just getting better and better. And that was one of the things that allowed Lewis to win so many championships, was that when he won another, he, you know, it wasn't like he took his foot off the gas and went and enjoyed himself over the winter. There would be such a focus on where can I find the next step. And for him, it all comes from this fear of being overtaken, fear of losing, that he just wanted to make sure that he would come back a stronger, more rounded, more effective, more unbeatable driver the next year.
How technical is Lewis? And I've heard him speak about some scraps that he's had with you over the years, disagreements, technical disagreements. Is that true?
We've definitely had technical disagreements. I would not describe them as scraps, because it's just, you know, we talk as engineers, he talks as a driver. There's a bit of a gap between that. And those, you know, disagreements, most of it's been, you know, a lot of fun just discussing what we want to do with the car and, you know, his view of it, my view of it. We've won 84 races together, so clearly something has worked well within that dynamic within the team. But the main thing with Lewis is his feel for what the car is doing is quite incredible. He picks up on the smallest nuances. When you're running a car in winter testing, he's been invaluable in some years in helping us find what we need to do to unlock the performance that's clearly been in it, because we had some tough winter testings and then went on to dominate the early part of the season just by managing to get the car in the right place. So, you know, he doesn't try and be an engineer. That's not his job. But where he is brilliant is describing to us what the car is doing and what he needs from it to be able to go faster.
And is he someone who can drive anything quickly, drive around problems?
The best drivers, world champions, are able to do that, because the reason that you win across a 24-race season is that the car's not always perfect and the conditions don't always suit the car. We would still look back on the last 3 years and say we have failed to give Lewis a car that is fast enough and a car that meets what he needs to really get the most out of himself. You only need to look at Las Vegas to see he's not slow. When the car's in the right place and the car's working, he's as fast as anyone. In Vegas, he was the fastest. For us, it's just a case of making sure he's got the right car and he will deliver. But he can certainly work over a range of conditions. And when you get mixed conditions, he's always there.
Is he an emotional driver? I mean, do you get the best out of Lewis Hamilton when his back's against the wall?
He's not an emotional driver in that he lets his emotions impact his driving in a negative way. You know, there are drivers out there that when things aren't going their way or they get under pressure, you can see it causing mistakes, causing them to go slower. So certainly that's not the case. But he is an emotive person. He, you know, he is someone who will express his feelings. I think that makes him who he is, and no doubt that has been part of why he's so successful. But when he has had to really dig deep and deliver, he's able to do it. He doesn't crumble in those instances when it's come down to, you know, doing what you need to do to win the races, to close off championships. That is when he's at his best.
Well, let's talk about some of his best moments. Looking at a weekend as a whole, is there a race that stands out to you?
I think from my time with Lewis, and bear in mind we're talking about 84 wins, so there's some that I've probably forgotten. The one that stood out to me above anything else was Brazil in 2021. And if you put the race aside for one moment, although I think he drove outstandingly well, we'd been disqualified after sprint qualifying. And that we felt was unjust, because what turned out to be the problem was one of the bolts on the wing had lost torque, loosened ever so slightly, and we failed a slot gap opening test by fractions of a millimetre, very, very, you know, almost the thickness of the paint on the wing. And we weren't allowed to check the car. When we were allowed to check it after the event, it turned out that was all that had happened. So we weren't happy with that. But then you were about to go into a sprint race. And if we had appealed that decision, then we would be racing under appeal. And we had a championship that was in the balance. And if you subsequently lost that appeal, then you lose all those points. So we decided at that point to just accept that we probably weren't going to win it. The car was going to be at the back. And we'd had a conversation with Lewis when he was saying, well, what can we do? Can we, you know, can we appeal it? Can we stop it? He obviously qualified brilliantly. And we said, look, the best thing is we just go to the back. It's like there's no other option. And you could see this sort of look on his face where over about 5 seconds, he just sort of accepted that. And then you just saw this kind of building determination of like, right, okay, I know what I need to do now. And he had the sprint race and then the main race to get from the back to the front to win it. And over those two races, I've never seen anyone drive so well, be so creative, so inventive with overtaking, so determined. He was just unstoppable. And that day, he made the others look silly.
Hamilton, against the odds, has come home to win the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. What a victory for Lewis Hamilton. He's not ready to loosen his grip on that championship trophy. Not just yet.
Yes! Come on, guys. Thank you so much. Such great work. Let's keep going. Let's keep pushing.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone in the time that I've been at the track put together such an impressive display of overtaking, but also just of resilience.
Is there one quali lap that stands out?
I remember one Monza in the wet when he annihilated everyone. I can't remember how much he was on pole by, but I think it was around about a second. And I remember just watching it, and it was a qualifying that had gone wet during the session, but I was watching it on board, and you could see what he was doing on, you know, on the delta time on the sectors. And I was just looking at it thinking, how does he know how much grip there is? He's not been able to experience these conditions, and the commitment was absolute. There was no holding back, there was no margin for error, but he just seemed to be able to judge perfectly how much grip there was. And those were the occasions where you just think, you know, as engineers, we can't make sense of this in the data. He just had this gift.
And was his pole in Singapore 2018 another of those moments?
Yeah, that one in particular. It was all about keeping the tyres cool, trying to stop them overheating. And he would have this ability to be driving the life out of the car, but still keeping the tyres in check, stopping them overheating.
Hamilton crosses the line on 1:36.0. Wow, was that fast? Nobody could beat Lewis Hamilton's time, and Lewis Hamilton takes pole here in Singapore.
But honestly, if you were looking at, you know, special Lewis laps, it's quite a long podcast.
What are you going to miss most about Lewis Hamilton?
I think if you look at Lewis's contribution to this team, it's impossible to really say what it is, because he has redefined the direction of the team. He's sort of woven into the fabric of it in a way that you can't imagine it without him. And we have become the team that we are today as a result of Lewis being a big part of that. He's a great character. He's a phenomenal team leader. He stands up for what he thinks is right, which is fantastic. And when he's out of the car, he's promoting the sport, in particular promoting diversity within the sport. And I like the fact that he knows he has such a strong sense of right and wrong. And he puts an awful lot of effort into trying to make a difference, not just on track, but out of the car. So it will be different. It's been a phenomenal chapter in the team's history. We will miss him. All good things come to an end, and we'll wish him all the best for the future. But I think that leadership, that sense of identity in the team, is the thing that we are definitely going to miss.
Is there one anecdote that best describes your time working with Lewis?
I think the one that sums him up as the driver and the competitor that he is was coming into the last four races in 2021. I got invited to a WhatsApp group that was just called We Will Do This. And Lewis had put a few people in it, and we had to win the next four races. And when I saw it, he was the one who created the group. I got this sense of, yeah, we will do it. Because if he believes he's going to do it, we're there to support him. He's got this sort of sense of belief that's so strong, it could almost make things happen. And the turnaround at that point, the dedication, the commitment, the level of detail he was going into to make sure we could go and win four races on the bounce was incredible. And we all know what happened in the final laps of Abu Dhabi. And it's difficult to take any satisfaction from the way that year concluded, other than we did what we needed. We achieved those targets that we had to achieve. We put the car where we needed it. It was as quick as it needed to be. Events out of our control meant that didn't happen. But it's that kind of thing where he is unique. That's why he's the best of the best.
I really love that WhatsApp story from 2021. It reveals so much about Lewis's winning mentality and his leadership skills. He must have been hugely motivating for the team in all of their big moments together. Shove talks about some of Lewis's great qualifying laps, and if you go to F1's YouTube channel, you can watch his poles from Italy 2017 and Singapore 2018, plus his back-to-front win in Brazil in 2021. They're all well worth a watch.
. 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. The final word in this special F1 Beyond the Grid goes to Lewis's leader for the past 12 seasons, Toto Wolff. They both joined Mercedes at the start of 2013. At that point, the team were not challenging for championships, but they had good resources and good people on their side, including Niki Lauda, the three-time world champion who'd helped convince Lewis to join Mercedes. During their time together, Lewis and Toto have bonded through celebration, commiseration, and negotiation. I sat down with Toto and asked him how he feels now his and the team's remarkable partnership with Lewis has come to an end.
For all the year, we knew that it's going to happen, but we were professional about trying to execute the year as good as possible from race to race. And you can kind of feel that, you know, this was coming close, but it wasn't predominant. And obviously now, towards the end of the season, you realize that it's really happening.
Is it an emotional time for you?
I mean, clearly, the Sunday afternoon in Abu Dhabi is hugely emotional. You know, this is, you kind of compartmentalize before that, but then it's the last race, it's the last qualifying, it's the last race, it's the last lap, and the last, let's say, professional relationship.
Is this the end, full stop, of Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes, or could you envisage a time in the years to come where you get back together?
There is no such thing in an end to the relationship that Mercedes has with Lewis, neither what we as a team have, nor I and Susie personally. On the contrary, I think Lewis has decided to do something else for the last part of his career, which I understand, or I can understand. But he's always going to be part of that family and always welcome in the family. And one day, maybe when the driving ends, there's going to be plenty of adventures we're going to embark on.
Let's look at the bigger picture now and think of the 12 years as a whole. How's your relationship with Lewis evolved in that time?
It was very nice because we were basically thrown into this project in 2013. Both of us knew. And generally, we started to, you know, like each other, respect each other. And then after 2016, when we really had time to discuss the year and obviously the outcome, this is the moment where we kind of grew really close together. But like in any relationship, you know, even with your brother, your father, your friend, there's bumps in the road when you disagree on because you have different perceptions or perspectives, but we always overcome that. We always talk, you know, like it's in a really good relationship. You need, there's nothing you drag on that you do not tackle, and that's what we have done. And the last few years, I mean, some of my best moments on track and off track were with Lewis.
You talk about that meeting after 2016 when Nico Rosberg won the championship, and that was the meeting in your kitchen in Oxford, is it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the end of the year was really not good. He was leading the race in Malaysia, had an engine failure, catastrophic, and that would have given him enough points to win the championship. And then we tried to overmanage the situation in Abu Dhabi. The championship was pretty much resolved. And rather than leaving the two out there to race each other, and even if that meant punching into the traffic, we tried to, you know, make it super correct, and he was upset about that. At the end, the team won the championship and the driver championship. So we reflected about that in a few weeks later and spent, I don't know, many hours together discussing the situation. And I said to him, listen, do you want to continue with Mercedes? And he said, yes. I said, well, I couldn't imagine anybody else than having you in the car. So if we decide here that this is a mutual wish of ours, we need to sort it out. And I think we left that afternoon with a solid bond that then grew from strength to strength.
And did he bounce back stronger in 2017? Did you see a better version of him in the car?
I think what's exceptional with him is that he's getting stronger and stronger every day, every year. He is someone that is a constant development journey, very self-critical, that makes him faster on track and that makes him more mature as a personality. And that's what makes him the greatest of all time.
What are his greatest attributes, both on track and off track? Let's start with on track. When you look at the racing driver, what impresses you?
I always struggle to, you know, name a few attributes because you're not doing him nor anybody else justice by just throwing stuff out. But if I were to, you know, try to identify the most important ones, it's resilience, determination, talent, intelligence, ability, and God knows how many others. And off the track, he has just a huge heart, is someone that cares about people that are important to him. And it's not the personality that you see in the media because he needs to protect himself. Everybody wants something. But when you are private with him, whether you're on holiday or you spend time at home or doing sports, he's a great guy.
But when you look at the data on track, is there a moment, is there a lap that stands out where you go, how did he do that?
Qualifying Singapore 2018.
Lewis, this is total. This was the most epic lap I've ever seen around here.
Thank you, man.
Why I remember that is that we finished our relationship with Boss and gave him the opportunity to bring Tommy Hilfiger to the team. So we did that, and then he started his own fashion collection with Tommy, and that was the week leading into the Singapore Grand Prix. And he was traveling basically nonstop. He was in Shanghai for his first catwalk, and then I think he went via the States back to Singapore. And lots of you guys said, well, how can you tolerate that? How can you allow it? A racing driver should be properly prepared. And Nicky, you know, Nicky was somebody that put people in boxes. And he said, I'm not sure that you're doing the right thing here. And then on the top of that, Lewis called me and said, listen, I'm coming late to my briefings on Thursday afternoon because the flight got delayed. And I said to him, listen, you're causing shit for me here, but that's okay. Our pact, you know it. It's about you deliver and I create a framework that works for you. You're an adult. And then he came and he just destroyed everyone on this qualifying lap in Singapore. And Nicky came straight to me and said, I leave Le Lewis management to you. I don't understand. And everybody else never mentioned again about Lewis doing his what others perceived as extravagances and I perceived as his free space.
How important was Nicky? You talk about Nicky. How important was he in your relationship with Lewis? Was it a triumvirate at the time?
Well, without Nicky, there wouldn't be any Lewis with Mercedes. I think Nicky was so persistent in trying to convince him to join Mercedes. And particularly, you know, he just scored the goal with him on that Sunday night in Singapore where Lewis DNF'd with the McLaren and convinced him to join the team. And so everything else, you know, just followed suit. I'm not sure Nicky was ever given enough credit for that. Took no prisoners, what's the salary you want, and convinced the board of Mercedes to do this. And Nicky was always a very good liaison between the team to Lewis in the first few years because he was talking as a three-time world champion and had the respect of Lewis. And eventually it became the three of us and the whole team became one. There wasn't, you know, drivers, we sometimes call them contractors. They come, you pay them well. If they don't have the right car anymore and they're getting paid well or somewhere else, they leave. Lewis changed from a contractor to a team member. And that was because everybody else just, you know, embraced the notion of team that we had then.
And did Lewis's relationship with the team change when Nicky passed away in 2019?
I don't think that the relationship with the team changed. Obviously, Nicky going was a huge loss to all of us as a friend, as a mentor, the many hats he literally had on.
Was Lewis more than just a racing driver for this team?
You're asking these emotional questions. Huh? Lewis is the racing driver in the team and the best champion we ever had and a very valued member of the team. But I feel like I said it straight from the beginning before I joined the team. We're 2,500 people and there's 2,500 superstars. And I won't be making any difference in how I respect them. And Lewis never wanted anything else, just being part of that organization.
We've talked already about 2016 and how he bounced back from that World Championship disappointment. What about 2021? How do you feel he bounced back from that?
The ending of 2021 is something that's going to be with us forever when it comes to our professional lives. But it's, you know, I don't think that the ending of 21 had any whatsoever correlation to not driving as fast anymore or any of that.
So do you feel he's continued to get better?
Overall, as a human being, professional and outside of the car, he's getting more complete every time.
Okay, you've talked about the lap, Singapore 2018. What about the race then? I mean, Brazil 21, that surely is ingrained in your memory somewhere.
So Brazil 21 was great, yeah, because we got disqualified for the sprint race and it was really nothing. And that was just not right. And I think what it triggered is such a momentum in the team of now we show them. And that's what happened. We knew we need to win every single race to win the championship. And he climbed back in the sprint in a great way. And then in the race itself, albeit all the defense, clean and less clean, he won the race. That was the best.
Look, final one for me, Toto. Is there one anecdote that best sums up your relationship with Lewis Hamilton?
There isn't one. You know, we have been 12 years together. And every single aspect of emotion was part of that relationship. We had lots of fun. We had a great day driving historic Mercedes racing cars in the summer, which felt really good. Yeah, maybe the competitiveness. We were both competitive and we went free diving, something that we got George into as well. And we had this world champion that was coaching us. And then Lewis and I started to fall into competition. And it was 20 meters one, the other one 20 and a half, 22 and a half, 23, 26, 27 and a half. And at a certain stage, when it was equal at, I don't know, 27 or 28 meters, and it got dark because it was the evening, the pro coach said, I need to stop you guys because one of you is going to get injured. This is getting too competitive. And we had quite a laugh and say, yeah, that's us.
That is you. Look, final one. What makes Lewis Lewis?
Lewis is Lewis. He's one of a kind.
One of a kind. But Lewis and Toto have a lot in common. Both are fiercely competitive and both are driven to succeed. Together, they and the Mercedes team did things no one else has done in the history of Formula One. Team and driver are about to start new chapters. It's exciting to think what they'll both go on to achieve. Thank you for listening to this special F1 Beyond the Grid. It's been great hearing from some people you don't usually hear from. My thanks to Stephen Lord, Claire Robertson, Victoria Johnson, Andrew Shovlin, Toto Wolff, and the team at Mercedes for helping to make this episode happen. Good luck to them and good luck to Lewis at Ferrari as well. Scroll back through our previous episodes to find in-depth interviews with more of Lewis's Mercedes teammates and Lewis himself. We'll be back next week with our best moments from 2024. But for now, F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.
'25 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda Racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.